The Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read 3 verses. We've been teaching on love, 1 Corinthians 13, for weeks now. And tonight, I'm teaching on love, but I have a little twist to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. Now turn back to Romans chapter 16, one verse, verse 17. Romans chapter 16, one verse, verse number 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, we learned a while ago there are certain people with whom we're not supposed to keep company. And now there are certain people we're supposed to avoid. It says, mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. Now turn to the very famous 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want to teach tonight in response to a question I've been asked probably a half dozen times. Brother Hiles, you've been teaching us to love our enemies. No, I haven't. God taught you that, and I'm just telling you what God taught you. We're to love our enemies. In fact, the Bible says we're to love our neighbor. We're to love all men, if you please. And then the question comes, well, preacher, how can I love those? Okay, I can love those that hate me and hurt me. But I can't love those that hate and hurt those that I love. Look at me, young people. Look at me. I'm talking to you. I can't love those who hate those I love and hurt those I love. One of our men said, Brother House, I have a hard time loving people that are trying to hurt you. Now, tonight, I'm going to teach on the subject, love does not mean fellowship. Love does not mean fellowship. I think I'll put some things very plainly for you that will help you concerning this matter of love and fellowship. And now, Father, teach us the Bible. Help us to learn what we ought to learn so we can be what we ought to be, so we can do what we ought to do. Bless our study tonight. Teach us some things that will help us be more like the Master. In His name I pray. Amen. Now, Father, we come to this teaching. I think it is so vital. So let me have the attention of the people tonight. Every child, may he listen intently. Every young person certainly will be affected by what I'm going to teach. May every young person listen carefully. Keep all of us who worked hard today alert, awake, attentive, and bless the Bible study, please. Brief, but important. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to listen carefully. I think I can cut this down to, two or 3 hours tonight. And so I want you to listen carefully as I talk to you. Now let's settle one thing. We are to love our enemies. And that word love is the word agape. It's the deep, abiding love. Yes, we are to love deeply our enemies. Now bear in mind, agape is that love that you can choose to have. because it is a love that is made available to you and is caused by you. I agape you. I love you. Son, over here, be quiet. I agape you. I choose to do that because that's the cause of the lover. But if I phileo you, that's the of fondness, that's because of the object of the love. So I'm saying again, we are to agape, deeply, godly, with godly love, love our enemies. But I was asked several times, I'll quote what one person asked, but preacher, I can love those who hate and hurt me, but I cannot love those who hate and hurt those I love. Let me say, yes, you can do that. It is not as easy. I have a harder time loving somebody that is hurting someone I love than someone that is hurting me. But the truth is, my answer is this. Here's my answer. Love doesn't mean fellowship. Don't forget that. Love doesn't mean fellowship. Hear me carefully. There are some people that I dearly love with whom I would not fellowship. I'll explain what I mean by fellowship after a while. There are some people with whom I would fellowship that I do not love as much as some people that with whom I would not fellowship. I'm not supposed to fellowship with somebody because of the degree of love that I have for them, but the Bible tells me there are certain people with whom I'm not to fellowship. Now then, there are some folks we should love, but let me illustrate what I mean. Years ago when I was just a teenage lad, my sister, Mrs. Stevens, had scarlet fever. Now, that was before the days of antibiotics and miracle drugs. And if you got scarlet fever in those days, it was fatal much of the time, maybe most of the time. At least it was 50% chance of living if you had scarlet fever. Now, what they would do, since it was such a contagious disease and such a deadly disease, the health department would come out and put a sign over in front of your house saying quarantined. That means nobody could walk inside that building. Now, for example, my sister had scarlet fever. I could not go there, and it was quarantined. Now, I loved my sister. Are you listening to me? I loved my sister, but I could not go inside that place because I was commanded not to go inside that place. You follow me? Do you follow me? Had nothing to do with love. Nothing at all to do with love. I loved her, as back in the days when I loved her, I loved her. But I could not, and by the way, nobody else could go inside that house either. My mother went down there because somebody had to take care of her, and mother just chanced it, went down there and took care of her for a couple of weeks. But nobody else could go inside that house. Listen to me. Wake up. Wake up, son. Listen to me. We're having church here. Go home, go to bed, or stay here and stay awake. I could not go there. She was quarantined. Again, let me say, the fact that I could not go inside where my sister was had nothing to do with my love. Now, listen carefully. The fact that there are some people with whom I cannot fellowship has nothing to do with whether I love them or not. For example, here's a person, suppose a person whom I love dearly. Suppose it's my best friend or one of my best friends. Suppose he does something terrible that would cause me not to be able to fellowship with him. That does not mean I don't love him, because the Bible says love suffereth long and is kind, and love never faileth. So it has nothing to do with it at all. And let me say this. You don't not fellowship with somebody because you don't love them. You refrain from fellowship because God says refrain from fellowship. Now let me explain to you a little bit. Let me give you some words. Follow me carefully now. Wake this fellow up over here. Would you please wake him up? That's the one looking around. That's the one. All right. Now then, let me give you some words. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, be ye separate. Now that word separate is an interesting word. It means boundaries. It means some things are out of bounds. Be ye separate from these things. They're out of bounds for you, or you're out of bounds for them. It means mark off a certain place. The same thing as the quarantine. There are some people that you should set boundaries around, and you should not fellowship with those people. I'll explain to you in a few minutes what fellowship means, but don't leave me now. So be you separate, 2 Corinthians 6:17, means that some things are out of bounds, or you're out of bounds some things. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, don't turn to it, it says, we're not to company with some people. Now, I'll tell you what people they are in a minute. But there are some people with whom we're not to company. Now, and then in 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, not to keep company. And I'll come back to that after a while. But not to keep company. Now, what does it mean? The word company there means to mix or mingle, share excitement or pleasure. Look at me. There are some people, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't matter how much we love them, we're not supposed to mix or mingle with them. We're not supposed to share excitement or pleasure with them. I'll tell you who they are after a while, but I want you to know there's some people. Now, love everybody? Yes. But not mix with everybody. Not mingle with everybody. Not have pleasure with everybody. Not get excitement with everybody. Not be thrilled with everybody. All right? I go to 1 Corinthians. Oh, listen to this one. 5:11. It says, there's some people with whom we're not supposed to eat. Look at me. I looked up that word eat in every way I could. I got my Greek New Testament out, looked up to see what the word was. I got five or six different lexicons out and looked up that word eat. And I wanted it to say run around. I wanted it to say fellowship. I wanted it to say don't be close to certain people. But it doesn't say that. It means eat. That's what it means. It means there are some people with whom a Christian is not supposed to eat a meal or eat a sandwich or eat. So it says. It says, with such in one, no, not to eat. Now I'm going to show you in a few minutes with whom you should not mix and mingle, with whom you should not share pleasure, with whom you should not even eat a meal, please. All right? Now then, there are several words in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. One is fellowship. We're not supposed to fellowship with certain people. Now, that word is partnership. There are certain people we're not supposed to go in business with. There are certain people we're not supposed to be partners with. And then, in the word concord in the same scripture, means, get this one, sounding together. That word concord is a word we get our word symphony from, and it means sounding together. There are some people we're not supposed to talk to. Now, what it means is there are some people that we're not supposed to have conversation with. You follow me? It says, some with whom we're not supposed to sound together. All right. Then another place it says, touch not. And the word touch not, I love this, it means to kindle a fire and sit around it. There's some people we're not supposed to sit around and talk with. See, in those days, they'd kindle a fire, sit around the fire. Back in the old days, you'd build a fire in the wood stove, sit around the fire. But there's some people you're not supposed to sit around and talk to. Now, look, ladies and gentlemen, it'd be a wonderful thing if you'd ever learned to believe this Bible. It'd be a more wonderful thing if you'd ever practiced what this Bible says. Now, you said that doesn't make sense to me. Well, I'm so glad that my God doesn't make sense to you. I'd hate to have a God that you could understand, that I could understand. My ways are not His ways. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm not supposed to figure out what I think God means. I'm supposed to figure out what God said. And God said there are some people we're supposed to mark off out of bounds. There's some people we're not supposed to keep company with or have pleasure with or excitement with. There's some people we're not even supposed to eat with. And there's some people we're not supposed to be partners with. And there's some people we're not supposed to sound together with, carry on a conversation with. There's some people we're not supposed to kindle a fire and sit around the fire chatting. And then the word not have agreement with them means don't mingle your mind. That means don't listen to the reasoning and philosophies of some people. Then I go to Romans 16:17, where it says, mark those that cause divisions among you contrary to the doctrine and avoid them. Now the word avoid there means slow down but don't stop. It means be friendly to them, but don't stop and talk to them. It does not mean don't say good morning. It does not mean don't pass the time of day. It means keep on going. Now, there's some people, listen to me carefully, there's some people whom I love dearly. Hey, I even preach for one or two preachers that I won't eat with. Now, they don't know I won't eat with them. They will now because you gossips are spreading around the country. But there's some preachers. I'll go preach for them, but I won't eat with them. You know why? Because they're going to sit there and criticize other preachers. So I won't eat a meal with them. I'm told not to eat with them. And it says here, I'm to avoid those that cause divisions, contrary doctrine, and avoid them. Don't slow down when you talk to them. Don't stop and converse. Then in Psalm 1, it says, don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and don't sit with them. Don't walk in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Why wouldn't you want to socialize with somebody that causes divisions? Because they have an incurable disease that is very infectious, and you could catch it. You're supposed to quarantine them. Not only could you catch it, but you could spread it yourself. And God does not want you to get around people that have communicable disease, spiritual disease, like gossip, like being critical. I'll go to that in a few minutes. But I want you to notice now that there's some people, I've taught you, there's some people that should be out of bounds to us. There's some people with whom we're not the company. There's some people, that means mix, mingle, pleasure, excitement, and so forth. There's some people with whom we're not supposed to even eat. And there's some people we're not supposed to have as partners, stand together, talk together, kindle a fire, sit around with each other, mingle your minds and thoughts and share. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, I just have to get with some liberal and I love to sharpen my wits. You only have a half one. You are not able to withstand the onslaught of liberal teaching. Well, you say, I'm trying to help the liberal. What you do? Find somebody who has measles sometime, breathe on them, and cure them. One hepatitis plus no hepatitis equals two hepatitis. You don't kiss somebody who has hepatitis so they get well. You get the hepatitis. Are you listening, young people? You get the hepatitis. This, it wouldn't hurt anybody. It wouldn't hurt teenagers, is what I'm trying to say. And that's why your kids get in trouble. You hang around the wrong crowd, go directly contrary to the Word of God, and hang around the wrong crowd, fellowship the wrong crowd, eat with the wrong crowd, date the wrong crowd, then wonder why your life is wrecked and ruined. I mean, one reason is you don't listen to what I'm talking about when I'm preaching up here on in teaching the Bible. Now listen to me now. Who are these people? Who are these people with whom I'm not supposed to stop, slow down, walk, stand, sit, have pleasure, eat, exercise mental interaction with them? Who are these people? I'll just list them for you. One, fornicators. Fornicators. You're not supposed to eat a meal, you and a fornicator. You follow me? Well, you say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It has to make sense to God, and God wrote the book. And God said, with such, no, not. Now, who is a fornicator? Fornication is a big word that encompasses all the sexual sins. It encompasses adultery. It encompasses incest. It encompasses homosexuality. That means you're not supposed to fellowship with the queer. That means, oh, Brother Hiles, how are you going to win him if you're not nice? Didn't say don't be nice to him. Said don't fellowship with him. Don't eat with them. Don't company with them. Don't partnership with them. Don't walk with them. Don't stand with them. Don't sit with them. Why? Because God said so. And I hate to tell you this, but you know God has more sense than you do. That becomes a great shock to some of you. Now listen, we're not supposed to, we're supposed to avoid, not to walk, not to stand, not to sit, not to be partners, not to conversations with, not to mingle our minds. We're supposed to mark them off, have boundary, mark them off. We're not supposed to mix and mingle or have pleasure with them, the Bible says. All right, number two, follow me carefully, railers. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 5, railers. Now, what in the world is a railer? A railer is one who has a critical speaker. A critical speaker. You're not supposed to do the... Hold it now. You say, preacher, you're supposed to love everybody. I'm not talking about love. You are supposed to love everybody. But love and fellowship are two different things. let's go back to my sister having scarlet fever. I loved her, but the law said I could not fellowship with her. And you're supposed to love everybody, but there's some people that an omniscient God has said it's not good for you or those you hang around to be around them. Because you'll catch what they have and you'll spread what they have. There's a third group we're not supposed to hang around, walk with, stand with, and so forth. And that group is idolaters. Now, hear me carefully. Simply means anybody that believes a false religion. An idolater is anybody that worships anything other than the true and living God as revealed in His virgin-born sinless Son who paid the penalty for our sins on Calvary. You say, Brother House, why don't you go to the ministerial association? I'm told not to. I'm told not to. They're idolaters. A person that believes that the priest can absolve your sins is an idolater. Now, I'll see the priest over here. They call him a priest. I'll speak to him. I'll see him at the hospital maybe. I'll speak to him. But I am not supposed to fellowship with this crowd of people, idolaters. I'm not supposed to do it. Well, you say with the house, I just believe all religions are good. Well, you have got a hole in your cotton-picking head. The truth is, the word religion is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. 6 of those times it talks about bad, and 1 time it's good, where it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's the only time the word religion is mentioned, and religion is not good unless it believes this book is the Word of God. Jesus is God's Son, salvation by grace through faith, and anybody that doesn't believe that is an idolater worshiping a heathen, an unreal God, and not the true and the living God, and we're not supposed to fellowship with them. Now don't crucify me yet. I'm going to come back in a few minutes and get a little sweeter. A little. So we're not supposed to walk, stand, or sit, or eat, or slow down, or mingle our minds, or kindle a fire, or have conversations together, or be partners with, or eat with, or mingle or share pleasure. They're supposed to be out of bounds, the fornicators, idolaters, railers, who else? Covetous. Who's that? Gamblers. Gamblers. The word is gambling. You're not supposed to fellowship with gamblers. Now then, let's go on. Drunkards. The word drunkard there is anybody that's addicted to narcotics, whether it's in a bottle or in a needle or in a pill. Now that means, young people, you listen to me now, that means you're not supposed to hang around people that smoke cigarettes. It's a narcotic. You're not supposed to hang around a beer drinking crowd or the movie-going crowd. That doesn't seem like to me even well. You just obey what God says. And God says we're not supposed to hang around that crowd. Then it says extortioners. That means cheaters. Then it says those that cause division contrary to the doctrine. We're supposed to avoid them. Go around them. The word, it means that. Go around them. It means go on past them. Don't swerve is what the word means. It means to swerve, to get around them without stopping. Now, while you pass, speak. But swerve. Then it says, is it the same thing with those who are unbelievers? Those who are not saved. Then those who are lazy and idle. Now all of these, I'll read the list again. We're supposed to mark out of bounds, not to mix and mingle, not to share pleasure with, not to eat with, not to be partners with, not to sound off together with, not to kindle a fire with, not to mingle our minds with, not to avoid them, don't walk with them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them. Fornicators, railers, that's critics, idolaters, covetous, drunkards, extortioners, those that cause division, unbelievers, and those who are lazy and idle. That might mean some kid that may keep his room clean. That might mean some punk that lives off his mother and father's food in their house, wears their clothes, and won't obey his mother and father when it comes to taking care of his end alone. Don't run with a lazy crowd. Now, wait a minute. I want you to look at one small phrase. You're going to be interested in this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. One small phrase. And verse number 9. Look at it carefully now. Paul said, I wrote unto you in an epistle. But he said, I wrote you a letter back yonder. Doesn't mean it's necessarily one of the epistles of the Bible. I wrote you a letter before, he said. Get this now. Not to company with fornicators. Now look at me. Look at me. Paul said, I wrote you not to company with fornicators. Now, Paul is telling us that he has changed his mind. Now, God hadn't changed his. But Paul said, I want to make it clear. Put it that way. I didn't make it clear. I want to make it clearer now than I told when I wrote you before. Get this now. Not to company with fornicators. Get this. Yet not altogether. Look at me. What's he saying? He's saying, look at me. He's saying, don't completely sever yourself from this crowd of people. He's saying, we live here in this world with them. You're not supposed to be close to them, but you are not supposed to totally separate yourself. You're supposed to be courteous. If you work with them, you have to pass the time of day. If you're neighbors to them, you have to be nice and courteous to them. So, look at it again now. I wrote, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world. In other words, he said, I don't mean withdraw totally from them. Get it now. The covetous, extortioners, idolaters, get this now. For then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, good night, you've got to trade with them. You've got to go to a store to buy some food, and there may be an idolater there. He said, don't be rude to them. You've got to trade with them. You've got to interact. And what he said to the people of Israel when they were going through the land of Moab and Edom on the way to the promised land, he said, buy from them, be nice to them, be honest to them, but don't listen to me, don't mingle with them. That's what he said. And the word mingle means mix socially. That's what it means. So God says here, yet not altogether. He said you'd have to get out of the world if you didn't have some contact with these people. You've got to see and talk to people that are covetous, extortioners, idolaters, and so forth. Idolaters and fornicators and railers and drunkards. Now I want you to look at verse 9 again. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company. Look at verse 11. But now, I wrote not to company, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. That word keep means hold. Are you listening to me? It means hold. He said, I wrote unto you not to even mess with it at all. But he said, now, not altogether. Not altogether. He said, you'd have to leave the world if you didn't have some contact. So he said, now, here's what I'm telling you. Don't keep company. Don't hold company with them. Let me summarize just a bit. I said a while ago, I preach for some preachers I would not sit down in a restaurant and eat with. I just simply tell them, I don't want to eat right now. I've already eaten once today. Of course, it's been 14 hours ago, but I've already eaten once today. The other day, a few months ago, I was going to preach for a preacher I wouldn't eat with. I preach for him. I love him. If he's in trouble, I'd pull him out of the ditch. But I can't eat with him because he's critical of other preachers. So, I expect heaven. Don't expect to help him. I expect to obey this book, you see. So, consequently, he said, Brother House, by the way, I was on an airplane with a wife that didn't have a meal. I knew the flight was too short to have a meal. I knew he was going to ask me to go out and eat with him. He always does. I cannot eat with him according to the Bible. Consequently, I got me a package of potato chips and took them on the plane with me. I ate them on the plane. I got off the plane. He said, have you eaten? Yes, I said, I ate on the plane. Is that lying? I ate on the plane. I did. I ate a package of potato chips on the plane. Oh, you've already eaten, he said. Yes, I've already eaten. Now, I'm not going to eat with him. You say, why? I promise you, we won't sit there in 3 minutes. We'll take off and tell me the scuttlebutt about every preacher in America. No, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear good news, not bad news. So, none of that. I help people as a friend with whom I love dearly. By the way, this preacher I'm talking about, if I chose the 15 or 20 men in America behind the pulpit that I love the most, he'd be on that list. I love him 10 times as much as I love some people I'd eat with. But the Bible doesn't tell me to eat with those I love the most. The Bible tells me to eat, don't eat with those that are raiders, are critical, are gossips. Now, some of you ladies ought to listen to this. Don't. Paul said, I told you not to company. He said, but not altogether. He said, you're down here in the world. If you didn't speak to everybody, you'd have to leave the world. And let me say it again. I think that we ought to be the friendliest and most courteous, the nicest people in the world. See, you got two extremes, Paul McCartney. You got two extremes. One, the isolationist, and two, the fellowshipper. Those are the extremes. Fellow says, and by the way, some of you kids in school, some kid gets expelled from school and you won't even speak to him. Now, you should not socialize with him, and you kids that get in trouble, they're right not to socialize with you. Well, nobody's going to touch me anymore. They'll touch you whenever you get right. But they're not supposed to socialize with you. But on the other hand, you got some young people that just cast them off. The Bible said no. He said, I told you before not to company. But he said, not altogether. Now I tell you not to keep company, not to hold the company with them. Now, get this. If I listed the 50 people in the world I love the most, at least 5 of them that I couldn't socialize with. I love my father. I couldn't socialize with my father. My father was a drunkard. If I'd socialized with my father, he'd taken me to the tavern. In fact, he didn't. I was 5 years old and tried to get me to drink whiskey. I love my father. I'm not talking about love tonight. We're supposed to love everybody and love our enemies. But there are some people with whom we're not supposed to quarantine them. Now, when my sister was sick quarantined, I called her on the phone. Told her I loved her. And other lies. But told her I loved her. And told her I was praying for her. And I was. But she was quarantined. Who quarantined her? The government. God says, I want this list of people quarantined. He says, don't have pleasure with them. Don't be partners with them. Don't sit down and eat with them. Don't carry on lengthy conversations with them. But be courteous, be nice, be friendly, be kind. Let's suppose that you live in a neighborhood. Well, let's suppose you work at a company. And that company has a Christmas party. And it's a drinking party. You should not go. You should not go. You're commanded not to sit down and eat with people like that. But the honest, simple truth is, while you're at work, you'd be the best worker on the job, the most friendly person on the job, most courteous person on the job. So it isn't a matter that I didn't love my sister. It's a matter that there was a law against my going to see my sister. It isn't a matter that I don't love these people here. I'm supposed to love all of them. But there are some of these people that are quarantined, because if I got with them socially and kept company, or held a company, as the Bible says, I could catch it. And by the way, you can catch these things mighty quickly. Any principal here will tell you, Brother Sisson will tell you, Brother Vogel will tell you, any principal, Brother Douglas and Brother Boyd, that almost every time a young person gets in trouble, he got with the wrong kids. Now, what was it? The Bible says, be friendly to those kids, courteous to those kids, nice to those kids, but quarantine them. so you won't catch what they have. And worse than that, so you won't spread what they have. On the other hand, you're supposed to do everything you can to be kind and courteous and helpful to everybody. You heard me say this before, and I'll close. I have a little motto. I told Ms. Howes this. Everywhere I go, anywhere I go, no matter whose path I cross, I want them to feel just a tad better when I leave them. If I go to a restaurant, sometimes I'll embarrass Ms. Howes because I cut up too much. If I go to a restaurant, I want the waiter or waitress there to feel better when I leave. So many stories, I won't tell you any of them, but for which you're grateful. Because you've heard them over and over and over and over again, but you still don't know them. But honest to Pete, I want people to say, when I walk in a clothing store, I want the fellow salesman there to be glad, say, I'm glad he's coming in. I like that guy. He's friendly. He's courteous. He's kind. When I walk into the drugstore, the druggist where we trade. I walk in while I'm waiting for the prescription to be filled. We chat. And that's what it ought to be. If he invites me over his house to eat tomorrow, I'm not going to go. I'll ask him to send the food. Shall we stand, please?